Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 481. What are you doing over there, Kyle Clark?
I'm waiting for an opportune time to promote my web series.
What's that? I don't know if we have time for that.
Well, the Nerdist channel has this thing called Nerd Turns, and I wear jean shorts in it, and it's a lot of fun. And it
sounds
comes
fake.
Comes out on February 20th.
February 20th, Nerd Turns?
Yeah.
You know, in all seriousness, I adore Nerd Turns.
And we adore you in it. My favorite thing was how we got you into the show this season, because I think it's the smartest thing we've done in two seasons. Kids, we shot him in front of a green screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can spoil
it. So that we could have him in multiple episodes as a hologram. Have you seen you as a hologram on the show yet?
No, I haven't.
It's the best. You're like Princess Leia. You just pop up on things, and you're just in the show.
Nerd Turns was one of my favorites, because that was when we first started the YouTube channel, and then all of you guys at...
Like the
theater.
Little rascals had our little paper. Yeah. Like, we got this thing we've written.
And he's going to edit it, and then he's going to direct, and we're all going to be in it.
And we're going to paint the sets
together. Yeah, but then that's what you did.
It was a homemade thing.
And it really, like, Nerd Turns to me, like, embodies, it sort of feels like Larry Sanders in that way. Like, it embodies the spirit of that kind of weird alternate universe, behind the scenes type of a show.
It's fun because we keep trying to make it crazy, and then the real life at the theater keeps going like, no, we'll do something weirder so that it just seems like an everyday at Meltdown.
It really is Nerd FUBU.
Yeah.
Finbin. For nerds by nerds.
Indeed.
Well, so great. So Thursday, what's the date?
Thursday, February 20th.
Thursday, February 20th, Nerd Turns is back. Season 2 of Nerd Turns.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be bigger than Homeland. Also, I would like to plug our buddies Chris Mancini and Graham Elwood from the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. They want to do a podcast documentary called Earbuds, which is an adorable name for a podcast documentary. And that's over on Kickstarter, so there's a few days left on that. So go over there, because they're really smart guys, and they will do a really good job. And I assume we'll be in it. But if not, then...
Would it be great if they just blacked it out.
Like, yeah, totally.
I can think of no other podcasts to cover.
But what about us?
No other podcasts to cover.
I'd like to thank a new sponsor of Nerds Podcast, Vimeo. Vimeo, you've seen it. That's where you got the uncensored version of Blurred Lines.
Oh, yeah.
It was over on Vimeo.
Oh, I remember that day.
But Vimeo, the quality of the video on Vimeo is
That's where I put my stand-up reel, because I want people...
You put your stand-up reel on Vimeo?
I did on Vimeo, because I was like, I'm going to make this shit fancy.
Okay, so let's say that you... Because you can sign up for free. You can get a free account on Vimeo, all right?
But what if I wanted to pay?
Well, you could... You get 10% off. Ooh. Using the offer code Nerdist for Vimeo Plus or Vimeo Pro. And basically, you're going to get more storage. You're going to get more speed. You're going to get more robust support. And that's over, of course, at Vimeo.com.
That'd work out. I can shoot my full 180, or whatever that is, P, just video reviews that are an hour long. About
100p?
Yes, 100p. It's one line.
That's a currency in England is 100p. Oh, it's 100. No, it wouldn't be 100p. That would just be a pound.
But I wouldn't have to pay 100p because I get 10% off of the offer code Nerdist.
Oh, that's right. So you'd only pay 90p. Well, that's really good. Yeah, so thanks so much to Vimeo for supporting this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Save 10% on a Vimeo Plus or Pro membership by entering the offer code NERDIST in all caps.
That's the only way I read it anyway.
It is case sensitive.
Nerdist!
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And then you're going to enter that at checkout. So get started at Vimeo.com. Offer expires 4/30, April 30th of 2014.
4/30, bro.
And then memberships will only at full price after that. So this episode of the podcast is Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer from the show Broad City. They had a lovely turn on the At Midnight program the other day with Hannibal Buress, who's also on the show. And so then they came over and did a podcast, and it was myself and Abby and Alana, who were phenomenal improvisers and really funny, and Matt Myra. And then Craig Rowan sat in, because Craig is a writer on At Midnight and is also friends of all of us.
And more importantly, he's Matt Myra's roommate.
He is, the poor guy. And he's going to be doing a podcast for us. Well, he's doing
about
a podcast.
Living with Matt Myra?
It's not, well, that's a fucking docuseries. That's
oh,
not just
we gotta
a podcast.
Get on that.
We should just have Craig Rowan.
Dude, living with Myra?
Oh, man.
Oh, I will go with a handy cam and just film their life for a week.
Let's call it Myra Apartment.
Yes, that is what we should call it.
Right? That's what we're going to do.
Oh,
and I'll tell you something. You know, the genius of it is even no matter how bad we make Matt look in that show, it's still a show he would watch.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's like the follow-up to Brody's show.
He would, like, Matt would be the opposite of Gordon Ramsay, where he would come in and tell you how to destroy a dwelling.
Tear that down. Put those there. Mismatch these. I want to see a left-handed guitar in every room in this house.
Don't get a couch for a year and a half.
And then buy a whole living room set to compensate.
See, we're just picking on him when he's not even here. So we'll shut up so you can listen to the Nerdist Podcast number 481 with Matt Myra, Craig Rowan, Abby Jacobson, and Alana Glazer.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Share.
What are you? Oh, you're saying because we're recording now? Is this what it is?
Oh, are we recording? She answered me seriously.
Katie's in business mode tonight. Yeah, we're recording. Just fucking, I don't want to hear about it.
All right.
So this is going to be. This is. I'm very excited about this configuration of the podcast because we have Abby Jacobson, Alana Glazer, and Craig Rowan, who writes on At Midnight, who is sort of Matt's roommate.
Yeah, no. I mean, he lives there.
I'm subletting. I'm living in an
he
empty room.
He calls it subletting. I've seen one chick.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
Passive-aggressive landlord. Stay there. Oh, sure. I mean, he's sort of. I mean, you know, if you want to call it. I mean, subletting makes it seem like money's changing things.
Oh, boy.
Craig, this is the real reason I asked you on this show.
I mean, I just had to move a bunch of guitars out of a room so he could put a mattress on the floor.
I did. I don't have an office anymore.
Oh, you do. You're here.
This guy sleeps in a room with a Doctor Who painting.
You're a lucky man.
Not the first time. It is the first time.
So Abby and Alana, of course, are on Broad City, which is a really funny...
Wednesdays
on Comedy Central.
10:30.
At 10:30 p.m.
Watch it.
Probably 9:30 Central.
Yeah, just after Workaholics.
Right after work. So whenever Workaholics, if you stay over there, you're going to get Broad City right afterwards. Mm-hmm. So tell me the Abby and Alana story. Where did it start for you? It
started with Craig Rowan.
What? How did it start with Craig Rowan?
I mean, we started together.
What?
We came up together. But I was also going to be like, Craig, you know, drove us to the city and said,
actually,
check out this
theater. You know a funny story, actually, about Craig? Alana and I were on an indie improv team in New York City. That's like kind of how we met.
So an independent, not for money improv team.
Right. Are there non for profit
improv teams? As opposed to those fat cat improv teams.
And also not for money improv group.
Yeah. We didn't make. We actually paid to perform.
Oh, it was one of those.
It was the opposite. It was one of those. And we had both been taking class at UCB. We're in this improv team called Secret Promise Circle. Amazing.
Yeah,
that took so long to come up with that name. And we would host a show at Under St. Mark's. Or actually, it might have been your show.
Was called Sherpa.
Right. I like Sherpa.
Remember these names?
We'll come back later.
If it weren't
right?
too inside, I would do a game on At Midnight where we come up with improv team names.
We pitched this. We had a lot of examples, but we found it's too inside.
Listen, like 1,000 people would... love that.
That would be a good speed game, like cringeworthy, or it kind of is cringeworthy.
Should I pull my computer out and find our list that we generated of the bad sketch team names?
Computer here? Is it bigger? Yeah, look for it while she's telling the story.
Yeah, so actually, we were doing your show. And
that's right.
One of my best friends from college, Meryl, came to my show, met Craig, and that's his wife.
That's Meryl, oh my God.
And the other weird connection is that not only that.
Thank you.
But one of Meryl's best friends from high school is Alana's brother, Elliot. So Meryl is friends with Alana from high school.
What is happening? You are the spoke.
I'm the linchpin.
Hub of all the spokes.
Seriously, she's in my brother's bar mitzvah video. What? From the late 90s.
Have you posted that anywhere? That should be on Broad City.
Ooh. It's scary. It's like a real time trip. You know what I mean? Time warp.
What was the theme of your brother's bar mitzvah?
The theme? I don't think there was a theme.
Oh, well, that's just
being Jewish?
Yeah, being Jewish.
It was Jew-themed.
Yeah. Manhood.
Tell them the name of our store, Craig.
I believe the name of the store was the Torah and Menorah Stora. Oh, and Fedora Stora in Astoria, Queens.
But why not the...
You know
why not
money we would make?
Why
Do
not
you
the,
know how much money we'd
why
make?
Not, why not, what is it again? That's the what?
The
Torah and Menorah. Why not the Torah
and Fedora
Emporia.
In Astoria.
Emporia. Yeah.
Emporia. Like, so there's like many of them. It has to be a chain.
Well, there's one in Peoria, Illinois. There's one in Astoria, New York.
Uh-huh.
I'm a fan. Let's do it. Let's drop everything we're doing currently.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, okay, good. Well, then you're already one step ahead of all of us. We'll quit all of our jobs, all right? We'll call Comedy Central as a group tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And let them know that this is the direction that we really
feel
like is
so
good.
So badly, you know? It's so hard.
How's your experience been with Comedy Central?
They are so chill. I'm like, oh, I'll make a fucking joke. No, I'm not going to even make a joke. They're just so dope. And it was going to be like terrible. Jeff can't. They're wonderful.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm sure some people might be like, well, of course, because you work for them, you're going to say that. I don't. They really have been nothing but pleasurable to work with this entire time.
It's
Matt's reading is.
I found three. I found only three of them, but they were the Make a Wish Kids in the Hall, the Yes Ands,
mm-hmm. which probably exists,
or just cancer jokes.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, we have the best one on the show.
How about Del Close but No Cigar?
Improv team on the
show.
Oh,
that's right.
And our writer's assistant, Naomi Akparagan, who's an amazing stand-up, came up with this name. Can I say it?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, yeah. I forgot what...
Statutory crepe.
That's great.
How
isn't that awesome?
Is that? And it makes us be like, ew.
I didn't know that crepe was just made.
The great thing, though, is that's going to air on your show, and then that will exist in a high school drama group.
We can only hope. That's what we.
That's what you're there for.
Yep, that's what our job.
Oh my God!
So how did was Broad City born out of a sketch show, or did you just pitch it as your? Did you?
No, we didn't pitch it. We just made it as a web. We just made the web series,
and then from there, then Comedy Central.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then we got like a script commitment with FX, and we developed the script with them for like 6 to 8 months or something. And then they passed and then we went with Comedy Central and it was like, oh, like FX was great. But Comedy Central was like, it was like meeting your like boyfriend or something, like the right person.
Like when Craig met Meryl.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
It was like that. I mean, it really was like, oh, this is this partnership is meant to be. Really. It felt like that.
It's similar departure, or it's like a similar show to the web series, in that they just like kind of let us do like a bigger version. It was like, it's kind of unreal.
Was the transition hard for you guys? Because you know we at Nerdist are bringing a show from the web to television. And or even when we did the Nerdist TV show, it was like, oh, let's just make a show that's like if you put cameras in the podcast, and then of course quickly realized like, oh yeah, no, television's a different structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything the mechanism isn't the same.
Turns out you can't talk for 6 hours. Cut that into a 44-minute watchable television program.
You can't do that.
It just doesn't work.
I tried 22,
who knows?
But
so does the same thing work for taking sketches or to tell
them. I mean, we had to like expand the world because in the web series it was like the two of us. It was like, you know, Abby and Alana, the characters in like a situation. You saw us for like 2 minutes, and it's like, how do we expand that? So we made it like a day. Every episode is a day in the life, and then we added all these characters, like that are in their world. Yeah, it was a bigger.
Looking back, it's as though the web series was trailers for the TV show. It was like we had this, like we kind of had this world there already, and we were showing a slice of it. But then it was like, oh, we have to show like the rest of the world, you know, with the TV show. But it's more just like communication with more people. But we're still like the, we're sort of like the captains of the creative ship.
Well, that's good because sometimes people, that can be challenging for people. Like if someone, you know, if someone like, if it's like a YouTuber has an, is just used to working with themselves or a couple of their friends, and then a large organization comes in and says, oh, here's more money, a little bit more money. And now there's a team of people, and then all of a sudden you're having to answer to people, and then people are answering to you, and you're having to make decisions. And so I think it's, I can actually be a little unsettling sometimes because it's just, it's so different than when you're just running around shooting shit yourself.
Yeah. It could feel chaotic. We always say like, oh my God, how does Schumer do it? You know, like having each other is such a, it makes the experience more normal, and we're still like, this is crazy. Like going doing your show. Oh my goodness. That was so much fun. That was so crazy. But it was like shrooms plus a roller coaster. It was crazy. And like, but it was like, oh my God, Abby to my right, Hannibal to my left. All right, we're here. Like when you're with the, and this community breeds such, such sincere connections with people that it's like, it does get hectic just being like, oh my God, all these like factions of this project. But then it's like we discuss it and it's like, all right, whatever, it's normal. It's like it gets back to normal. We can like sort of make it get back to a baseline or something.
Yeah, well, you get used to it. You just sort of get used to it.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was a kid, I liked BMX bikes.
Hell yeah.
Continue.
Well, until I broke my collarbone in half.
Did you like the movie Rad?
I did like the movie Rad. I'm not sure it holds up.
I have a DVD of it at home, and no.
You can take
that. What is Rad?
It's a BMX movie from the 80s.
With what's his
Christian Slater?
BMX craze.
Wasn't Christian Slater
in
Rad?
He's gleaming the cube.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Ew. I will say I'm really into like X Games with the bikes where they on the half pipes and stuff. I love watching that.
Well, this was before that. This was really just like dirt when there was just like slightly glorified dirt.
So it's just you and your Huffy expert and the wind.
Well, I had assembled the bike. I mean, like I bought a bike. I bought like a, I had a store bought bike, and then I just like
tore it apart and made a fixie. And didn't realize you were making a fixie.
Got good handlebars and different tires and different you know, all the stuff and better brakes and you know, like I knew how to do all that shit. And it was an obsession for a summer. I used to ride into my dad's bowling center before it would open. I would just ride around and sort of.
But kids, that was the summer of our lives.
It was.
Yeah. Can we have play Stand By Me right now?
What'd you do? Oh, so we were going for the same joke. I was just going for Wonder Years.
I was going to do Summer of 69 because the title track is the Summer of Love.
That's where he bought his first real Schrick string.
Yeah, I got it at the Five and Dime.
Yeah.
Right. Played it till your fingers bled.
Bled. That was the summer of
my 69!
Blah, blah, blah. But
I'm sorry, what was the last part?
69.
No, I got that part, but then you did something else.
Blam, 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 blam,
blam. What was that supposed to be?
Well, that's how a lady enjoys being serviced. Blam, 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 yeah. Blam, blam.
I think you'd be the worst waiter on the planet.
That's exactly it.
Much. Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yep.
These are things you don't want to hear.
Ladies, like, ladies, right?
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
These are things you don't want to hear the first time a guy's going down on you. Om nom 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 nom. Would that just instantly, would you just kick someone in the face?
Who would do that?
Someone who likes I Can't Has Cheeseburger. I Can't Has Cheeseburger now. Nom 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 nom. Kick in the face.
I bet that's been said in more than one Comic-Con hotel room. I said Comic-Con like Kevin Smith.
Comic-Con. I did see an outtake of a video where you were under under the covers and your mouth was breathing
warm air
onto Abby's.
I was nervous. I was giggling because I was nervous.
That was a web episode we did with the dude, Dan Opsahl, who directs all of Fallon's sketches, did that on The Tonight Show now, I guess.
The Tonight Show,
yeah. But it only took me 22 minutes to get her off.
Not bad.
Champion.
Oh, you had to expand it from the web to TV.
Such a scary thing to just shoot. Because it was just two people in the room with us, so I was like,
and
it would almost
would
have been better if there were more people. It would have been like more of a shoot. We're
and
like,
the Opsahls
guys,
are
we're
really,
not really doing this.
They're pervy, the Opsahls, right, Ab? Dan and Lisa, pervs.
Yeah, they're big pervs.
They're like the nicest people from Iowa. They're like so sweet. They're so sweet. But that was hysterical. Oh my gosh, that was so silly. And I was like, this is crazy, yo. That's a lot of pressure. Like, to to try to please a woman, I can't imagine that pressure. I would be so nervous.
Isn't it the same pressure?
No.
I think it's the same amount of pressure.
No.
Men are easy to get off.
Guys are very easy because essentially all of our pleasure center is just like out.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I'm still confused as a woman on myself. Guys, it's like you don't
right,
have to
touch
because
you can go down on yourself, right?
Oh my God, I like heard about it. Girl in high school from the town over when my friend,
I knew her.
My friend went to
she got ribs removed.
She just
Marilyn Manson.
She this,
I forgot about that.
My friend Jenna Hines went to St. Anthony's, the like Catholic school, the private Catholic school for a year, and like there was a girl who could do that supposedly.
Could go down on herself?
Yeah, that's insane. Crazy. I know, crazy.
No, I mean, it's insane for a guy to do it. For a girl to do it, that's like so much
doesn't make any
farther.
Sense.
It's like six more, seven inches.
It's like 12
it's like
more
12
inches, right?
Like 12 more inches, yeah.
Like 13 and a half.
12 to 14?
12 to 14, depending on how cold it is. Right.
It's so funny to me that guy that like that was ever a thing where guys be like, "Yeah, I got like a 14-inch dong." Like,
yeah.
You could never do anything with that.
Gross.
No one would want that.
You can't even
I've seen
fill that
some
with
movies
blood,
that would change
you know?
Your mind.
The rest of your body just shrivels and you just go into a weird coma because
no
of all
blood.
Of your blood.
You just fucking pass out every time you get a boner. You
exactly.
Yeah.
All the blood's gone.
It just hits you in the face.
Big Pun was on the radio the other day and he's like,
Big Pun?
Yeah.
P-U-N. I thought he was dead, but
I thought he was dead.
No, he wasn't on the radio. He's like the one song, you know?
Oh.
Still not a player. And he's like, Big Pun. Something, my dick, you couldn't measure my dick with 6 rulers. I'm like, ew.
6 foot dick.
6 feet? Gross. You wear that as like a scarf?
That's 72 inches of dick.
Ugh.
Wow.
72.
The perfect amount.
If you like, if you like, you know, like
that's 2 yardsticks.
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
Gross.
If women did that, they're like, it's like you can't measure the inside. 6 rulers, bitches.
I got 14 inches of space, y'all.
Fill it up.
You can't.
You just try.
Only
to
Big Pun
up.
Can fill.
If you wanted to draw, you have to get one of those giant compasses.
Yeah. Right.
You need a telescope.
James Cameron can't find the end of my pussy, yo. But I go back to the collarbone story.
My goodness.
I broke my collarbone in half trying to bunny hop parking islands in the grocery store where my father's bowling center was. I tried to jump over it. My back tire caught and I landed and just skidded on the ground. And immediately shock and I jumped up. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. It probably would have made a great YouTube video.
Did it hurt or did you like not feel it?
It's like
in
your clavicle.
And also, when you break it in half, is that one side in half or right here?
One side. The part that sticks out here.
Do you have to wear a thing?
I did.
Sling, right? You have to wear a sling.
No, it holds you back.
It's a brace. But I didn't... Okay, so the tragic part of the story was I didn't know for a couple of days that it was broken. My parents were recently divorced.
Yeah, fun, right?
That's probably why I got a flashy new bike.
Cool.
And so I was over at my dad's and I couldn't get off the couch. Because I don't know why that's funny.
Children in pain makes me laugh every time.
Well, I couldn't get off the couch because I was leaning up against the couch like this the whole time. What I found out later is that leaning up against the couch actually set the bone back in place. And each day that passed would get more and more excruciating. So every time I got up, it was the most excruciating pain in the world.
Because you were re-breaking whatever the fuck
was
healing.
It was just sliding out of place.
Oh.
So my dad, like finally after like 3 days, he was like, "You have to get off that couch." And I was like, I can. And he was like, and you know, it was just one of those parent moments where he just thought I was being difficult. And my parents were never physical with me in any way. We didn't hit me or fuck me. And my dad's like, "If you don't get out of that couch, I'm going to yank you off that couch," which he didn't. He never did. And he's dead now, so you can't, you know.
What can't we do?
I don't know. Call him and be like, "Why did you do that when Chris was 11?
That checks out. That's how death works.
Yep, that's right. You could just scream it.
Billy Hardwick,
how could you do this? And so I was able to get off the couch. My mom the second week he took me back to my mom, my mom was like, you don't look right. You know, it's like, what makes you say that? So we went to the hospital. My friend's dad was the radiologist.
Ooh.
And so...
is he single?
No, he wasn't. He's also not alive anymore, so you cannot...
love him.
Carbonate this. So, yeah, so in the x-ray, the clavicle was just like that. It was just like that. And so my mom instantly... My mom called my dad... Where she had to find a phone in those days. We didn't just carry them around.
Wow, what are you doing?
We didn't carry our communication computers.
What did you do to our son?
And my dad, boy, I lived off the guilt from that for like a year. Anytime.
Remember the time I had a broken bone, Dad, and you left me on the couch for 3 days? Yeah.
Like, if I was just like, I think I have the snivels, my dad would be like, well, let me make the bed for you. Yeah. You know, like, it was very much. So, yeah, then they put a brace on. And then you kind of have to wear a sling, and then, yeah, it was really...
but when you were fully healed, you could suck your own dick.
Yeah. That's the story of how I became double dick jointed.
Double dick jointed. I don't think that's what you think it is.
Yeah, what?
I think that's when your dick has a joint in it.
When your dick is, like, digits.
Yeah. Well, your guys' dick elbow is, like, where does it bend?
No, that's
this
not...
This is odd. Mm-hmm. We don't have dick
that's
elbows.
That's not the way.
Why?
It's... We're not supposed to do that.
I do have a dick funny bone.
How do you get...
I'm sorry.
How do you? Well, when you're with a lady, how do you signal that you want her to come over if you don't use your
just little jumps,
pump and jump. Speaking of dads, my dad really loves you and loves your story. He heard it on NPR and he was like,
"What?
Do you know this Chris Hardwick?" And I, before I met you at the TCAs, and he just loves your story.
That's very nice. What does your dad do?
He is in insurance and financial services.
Oh.
Jew from Long Island.
Yeah, it was. I met you guys at the TCAs with Amy Poehler, who's the executive producer of your show.
You met us right at the...
Right as we were coming off.
Terrifying moment. For
you guys were going on. The TCAs, the Television Critics Association, can be a very challenging event for noobs because it doesn't feel like a warm room, but because all of the reporters there, the journalists are working. So they, you know, they're typing most of the time, and so like jokes don't land, and it doesn't always mean that the jokes aren't funny or they're not engaged. They're basically just transcribing everything. And so the panel that was before us was like Nick Cannon and a couple guys. I guess they're bringing.
Well, that's probably why there weren't laughs.
They're bringing. Okay, be nice.
You just threw down the gauntlet.
Be nice. So they were. I think is Wild and Out coming back? Is that what it was?
I hope not. Okay, oh, it is. That's too bad.
So Wild and Singled Out.
Oh, I'd watch that.
What, an improv dating show?
No, that Mad TV sketch you just wrote.
Oh, I did. Well, actually. Since we're being real, the Mad TV sketch of Singled Out actually did happen in 1996, and it was called Ozark Mountain Singled Out.
Oh, boy.
Guess who?
Blaine Kapatch wrote that.
You might have.
He probably did.
So she ended up with, of course, her brother in the sketch.
Oh, that's funny.
God. Yes, come on.
Not bad. In the heyday.
You are watching Mad TV.
Man.
Craig had his watch a sketch
at
work. That he used to think, and I remembered the sketch too. It was this one where
it was, notable.
It was where Will Sasso and Alex Borstein play the singing duo.
Yeah,
and they do like an true Hollywood story of it or whatever.
And every song is like, "You are the love of my life." I was like, "This was funny. Let's check it out. See
and
if it holds up."
I was like, "Oh, I remember that." But he's like, "Yeah, this is so funny to me. This is the greatest sketch ever." And how long was
it
the
was
sketch?
Like 7 minutes.
It was a 7 minute sketch.
Well, attention spans. Were
and by
back
the
then.
Way, we said every joke that was in the sketch. It was 7 minutes of that.
We were like, and that was the joke, was them singing that.
Yeah. So it did or did not hold up?
No, God, no.
That's a danger. That's
a minute and a half of it would have been fine.
Sort of interesting thing with comedy is just not knowing what is too of the moment and what things are like are a little more... evergreen, as you would
and it's
say.
Also like, do you have to always be like, men and women, black and white people, or like, you know, it's like, what can you like reference?
Well, I just say black men and white women are dot dot. Like I mix it up.
Yeah.
When one of them's from New York and the other's from Los Angeles,
you need to walk out. Neil Brennan's show is right there.
Yeah, that's right. I saw their casting Neil's show out there.
They didn't ask me. Weird.
Aw, buddy.
Next time.
That's all right. You're doing fine.
Yeah, sure.
How's Broad City going? Are you guys shooting right now? I know the show's on now, but are you done?
We are in the end stages of editing, so we're almost totally done.
Is the same thing going to happen to you that happened to like Louis or Flight of the Conchords, where you realize like, oh, this show takes up 100% of the year because you have to write, try stuff out, then shoot, then edit, then start all over again.
Yeah, it's like
and you get burned out.
I mean, I hope not.
A total honor. It is total honor to have this opportunity, and we will burn out. I feel like we're talking today
because we haven't been picked up again yet. So we're like, well, you know, say we get picked up and we get to make more episodes. It's like, we need to like get out of like our lives right now to have something to write about. I'm like, oh my God, we need to like go.
Yeah,
I need
to
like take a long, like schleppy trip somewhere where I'm like, you know what I mean?
You have to pack a lot of bags.
No, we run into that.
You know
that,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like
we run into that, too, with, like, podcasts, because, like, all we do is podcasts, so then we can't come in and talk about podcasts.
No.
So, like, after we have a little break, it's great. We come back
about, like,
and we're
going to meetings?
Yeah. You know, like, and I don't love, it's like, you know, a movie where it's like, this big TV exec, I'm, like, out. I'm, like, out of it. It's like.
I actually love movies like that, but.
You're like.
They're always
like
Robert De Niro.
I'll watch everything.
I don't even know. I just saw. Oh, it was in the dressing room I just did a Bill Clinton thing. No, I don't know it. I saw a poster in the dressing room.
Oh, the poster in the dressing room for it? You should watch it. It's really
Chris
good.
Chris keeps posters of Tim Robbins movies in all dressing
Which
rooms.
Which movie?
Yeah, I got Tape Heads.
But it's a parody, right? I mean, it's like satirical.
It is satirical. Yeah,
it's like satirical.
It is satirical. It's a satirical murder movie about Hollywood. But I don't think you need to really. I mean, if you understand how Hollywood works, then the jokes are funnier. But it's still a really good movie,
which is why it got made, because everybody watching it while it was getting made knew about Hollywood.
They knew about Hollywood too. So how do you? What is your writing process, and how do you make sure? You know, especially with the new group of people, are you guys writing the show alone, or do you have?
We have a small group.
So, how do you make sure that it's in the sweet spot of what your collective voice is?
I mean, you can't really be sure. Like, that's like one thing with Comedy Central. Why we like love them so much is that they'll be like, "Is this Broad City enough?" And we're like, "Holy shit, it's not!"
Or they're like, "That's not. You guys wouldn't do that." And we're like,
"Oh shit!"
You're right. Like, they're very good at.
Oh, I guess you know us.
No, but sometimes you get caught. Like, there's a lot of material that we're like churning out, and they're like a really good like kind of goalkeeper.
And we do like it does get like confusing between like the real us and the representation of us, and it's like, ugh.
In the room we're like, hold up now.
Yeah,
is
we're
Abby
like tripping.
Like, is Abby like Abby? I'm like, I gotta fucking.
And it's like, it's weird to like talk in the third person.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange, but we, you know, you start with a blue sky. We've learned, you know, just like no limits, just say any stupid thing you want, and then you know, sort of settle on, let's settle like. Land and launch on like episode ideas or whatever, and then we go episode by episode, outline, send it to the network, script, send it to the network, send back the next draft. So it's a pretty set up system.
We also have this spreadsheet that the two of us that we've been keeping since 2009.
Yeah,
that's very detailed, like conversations, moments, like. Episode ideas, like it's
cinematic,
very elaborate,
you know, just
everything
like a picture,
we can
just
think
an image
of
that we want to.
Do you guys do any stuff solo?
Yeah, we have we sort of motivate each other with our individual projects. We have web series, just like a lot of stuff we're working on in the meantime, and it helps also. That's like been my life experience for like I started doing comedy with you guys and I was in college, and that's been my life experience, or like my vehicle for life experience, you know, like most of the travel I've ever done, I haven't traveled a lot, but when I have, it's like usually for comedy. So I'm like, I need to go do something.
But they're sending you on a tour, right? Are you doing a bunch of live shows?
Yeah.
Live appearances?
Yeah. Yeah. But that to me is like, that's how I'm going to like see America. You know what I mean?
It's good. You know what?
It's a city and night.
Oh,
I'm gonna see it real quick.
Okay, so you're gonna have a lot of you know what? You'll just have to find the best lunch place.
Yeah. Yep.
Place.
Oh, I love it. And yeah, I made some good lunch.
Yeah, it's gonna.
I will say this though. You know how I don't watch television shows often.
Yeah.
Craig was watching.
You really
show.
Don't?
I really don't watch TV.
He watches bullshit TV.
He watches. Me too. He watches Pawn Stars. He watches. Yeah, yeah. He watches
Frasier. Bar Rescue.
Yeah. Frasier, correct. Yes.
He watches.
I watch
Frasier.
HSN and QVC. I watch.
Yeah,
like,
I watch QVC too. Some
oh, I watch
mesmerizing.
A ton of fucking TV.
It's so hypnotic. Yeah. I wish I did more. I have to be doing something else. I can't. I don't have. I'm like a child. My
attention span. Yeah, I need to like. That's my version of staring at a wall. Is watching.
I know, and I'm like, something's wrong with me. I used to be able to do it as a kid.
Yeah.
I never turned my TV on.
But what I was saying was...
You don't watch.
No, I mean, I watch stuff online.
Their show is hilarious. And I watched it because Craig was watching a bit of it and then I sat down.
I was watching a lot of it.
He was watching it. And then I had walked through the room.
Now you have to understand, Matt hates everything.
Yeah.
So this is a very big deal.
Yeah, this is a huge...
I love that. That's
telling Abby that
you guys are our demo too, which that like means...
Yeah.
I want everyone to watch it, but...
Professional comedy writers.
Professional comedy writers. We need more to watch the show. Please.
But no, I will say it's a very funny show and I think everybody should watch it because I laughed out loud.
Yeah, well, he was just walking by. He's caught his eye. He started laughing. And he sat down. I was like, "That's good television."
Matt doesn't do that.
That's good television.
Wait, what is it like to live with Matt Myra?
This is an excellent question. Go ahead.
All right,
I'm curious.
Well, he's a great guy. I like him a lot.
The non-political answer.
It's good. You know what? It's good now because his living room beforehand was like just
you had no furniture.
Like a war zone of weird chairs and
just an eclectic mix, if you will,
and like framed things on the ground.
Yeah, that weren't. I didn't want to hang them.
And then
too
he
much
bought,
commitment.
He went to a store and literally bought like the photograph of what a living room looks like.
That's exactly what I did. I want everything in this picture.
And then that exists.
Just like in Fight Club?
Yeah,
what store?
Kind of exactly like Fight Club. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Is it like
sit
an
around.
IKEA?
No, I went to this place called Ashley Furniture.
Ashley, love her.
Ashley,
she's
gotta
great.
Get it at
she's
Ashley.
Great.
I have a green accent throw. Come on, ladies, right?
Throw. Yeah.
Right?
You're at step 20, you know?
Yeah, that's like the last thing you get.
There's,
you don't have
also,
a sofa, but you have a throw.
He worked it all around the throw.
I did. I really did.
That at AshleySaddison.com.
Aww. You guys, I was trying this new position and I'm back.
Yeah, welcome.
There's
only welcome back.
Space, I'm like,
I know there's no knee space where you're sitting. I'm so sorry.
But and then I bought this like it had like this. It came with this like wooden tray with these weird wooden candle holder things that sort of look like the African art. Which I was like, sure, it's in the photograph. Why not do that? So then I have all those sitting around, and then I was like, this isn't quite me. And then I pulled the tray off, put it to the side, and then I just plopped down Batman on a horse. Mm-hmm. A statue of Batman on a horse, and then I feel like it's...
So it's like part catalog, just part, like, total nerd. It's
that's
really awesome.
That's a good mix.
It's
a right. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's and now he loves the couch.
But I'm also,
he sleeps on it all the time.
I'm living in an empty room with an arrow bed, which is personally, not on Matt.
I've
it's
offered
on me.
To him.
It's on me.
Well, I will say that's a big transition for you because your apartment is really nice.
I live in Brooklyn with my wife.
Yeah,
and my
wife.
Loving wife Meryl, and you guys basically you brought her.
I know
to
her
me.
Longer than you.
Yeah, you know, known her probably since she was 12, bat mitzvah age.
Yeah, before that, I was like Meryl's good in high school. I was like, hi, Meryl. I was a freshman and she was a senior.
Oh
yeah,
hanging out with seniors.
It was because my brother was cool, and I got to have some of his friends.
I've seen home videos, and you're hanging out. You're just one of the guys.
I am always one of the boys.
Bitches are crazy, am I right, dude?
I've offered to buy Craig a bit. I've offered,
but I'm just being really zen-like and just like,
he's
nope.
Trying to go with
that's
us.
Cool. That's
you know
cool.
What you have to do to get this bed, Craig.
You know, Greg has to suck my dick once.
I just have to.
Oh my God.
Wow, wait a minute.
Why did you take it there?
Just one time.
Now I'm definitely not paying the rent check.
Yeah.
But
but I'll take the blowjob.
So, how do you. So, your wife is in New York.
Yes.
And how is that working?
It's so great living with Matt.
I will say this though, they every time I come home, very often they are FaceTiming each other,
yeah,
which I love being around because I just got out of a relationship.
Oh, so that's nice.
No.
You mean it can be like that?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. I also was, when we first started at midnight, I just stayed there for like a week. And literally the day after I left,
I said to him, I was like, you know, I think you're the only thing keeping my girlfriend and I together. And aww, as soon as, because I was living with, he was living with us. And I was like, I bet the day you leave, we're done. And then he left, and then she broke up.
You're like his new girlfriend.
Yeah. He's, yeah. He is.
Yeah, that's nice.
We're seeing RoboCop tomorrow.
Oh, I heard about this already. How are you feeling right now?
About RoboCop? I'm looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite
It's
movies.
Fun.
Not, you know what I mean. How are you feeling in your heart?
I don't know. It might be ready. I might be ready. It's been like, how long? 2 months? 3 months?
It's been 2 months and
ready
3 days.
Ready for what?
To like not to be over it, to just sort of like go, okay, yeah, let's move on, guys.
But you seem okay.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
I mean, he lives with me,
so you're good.
I read now.
It's good timing, nice, actually, for you to be there. I would probably imagine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Are you guys,
yeah,
in a relationship or anything?
We are in love. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So, oh, I wish.
I love that one.
I wish.
Scoop.
Maybe she does too after that outtake I saw on your website.
Oh, I am good, brother. I'm good. No, I am not good. Yeah, I have a boyfriend.
And how long have you guys been together?
About like a year and a half, a little over.
Oh, nice.
He is.
That's right where it fell apart for me.
He is. I've never dated anybody longer than 2 years. I'm like, we'll see what happens. But he's so lovely. He is so.
He is lovely.
Oh, he is so great.
Oof. He like, he like
person?
Hugs no. me really tight.
He loves
that might be a problem. That might be a problem.
No, like he's like such a sweet guy.
He's just like, oh, he's so lovely. He's a scientist.
Legit scientist.
Like, yeah, he looks at, researches molecules and is like applies it to drug design. He's crazy. He's gorgeous. He's so nice. And I also am like funniest with him. Like before, you know, when I would like, if I weren't like dating him, I wouldn't be like dating anybody, you know, I would just like hook up with people. And when I do that, it's like, you know, normal person, but then like the like comedy Alana is like a separate thing or whatever, but I'm like funniest with him. And it's like, it's so wonderful.
Cause you're the most comfortable maybe.
Yeah. Like I actually feel beautiful being funny, even if it's like, you know what I mean? Like I
have to exactly that.
Oh, like I'm, oh, yeah, I'm like, so it's easier to, you know, rather than be like sincere. It's like, so it, yeah, it's, I get to be like a fucking idiot, but also I'm like learning to be more present and sincere, which is nice. He's great.
It's hard with comedy people cause we're so defensive,
yeah,
which is why we're comedy people.
Yeah.
We have these protective comedy shells.
And I'm like me, like me, like me, like me, like me. And it's like, oh, it doesn't
he's
always
like,
have
I
to
like
be.
You.
Yeah. It's like, doesn't always have to be like that.
Well, my job was really hard today. It's not like I'm. Oh, you are a scientist.
Yeah, I know. It's,
you are a scientist.
It's cool, and like the two worlds parallel more often than you'd think. It's interesting.
Comedy and science.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it really does. Like it's, you know, science is like way more creative than I would have thought if I hadn't had this inside like scoop or something. So creative, and like he, I shouldn't even like. Whatever. He like. Plays a lot during work. He's like gets to a place where he like can actually think, can like dream of stuff that this like molecule surface might be measured by. You know, I don't even.
And
know.
I would say that comedy, wow, is more scientific than people realize.
100%, 100%. I studied psych and child psych while I was in college, and I did comedy in college, and it was like, thank you. It like lined up. I like want to like take a class or read a book at some point because it like feeds comedy for me so much.
Well, I think just the structure of the way comedy works is very scientific. The way, you know, I mean, the way people analyze their sets, and you're constantly,
oh God,
like,
yeah,
there's a hypothesis. So you're basically doing scientific method the entire time.
I spent like 2 minutes today looking at a piece of paper going, is the word God funny or is the word Christ funny?
Yeah.
It depends
it
on the context.
It is interesting to, yeah, like analyze that.
Yeah.
I'm not like a stand-up, but I'm sure any type of comedy has that, like,
yeah,
that in there.
And also, like, you know how, like, do you know, like, numerology, how that's, like, a crazy thing that
I've
people...
I've seen the movie 23, yeah.
There's...
the number 23?
I was just talking about that the other day. just how there's these, like, formulas or algorithms out in the universe that if you like pluck it and apply it, it's there, but like it's all around us. We like don't even realize it. I think that's like what numerology is kind of. And there's like this like
I think numerology might be a little more like astrology. Right?
Yeah.
A little more like
it's definitely
your numbers are and I've yeah. added up your birth date and your I think that might be a little more
I think there's a spectrum where like part of it is bullshit slash real if you believe and then the other part is like I mean I think there's I don't really know. But like I think there's like a each personal performer has like a science or a math to their timing, for example, that you can't sit out and be like 3 seconds, 4.5, whatever. But there's everybody has their
yeah.
Well, it would be interesting if someone listened to if you took a bunch of comedians and then plotted out on a chart like what all the data points were. Like typically they will get a laugh every 3 seconds or 6 seconds, and then here is where they go up and inflect. You know, I mean. It's a horrible idea because we should still have some magic in the world instead of having to deconstruct everything.
I get whenever I do stand up a lot, I get you and Eugene Merman sound the same.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a scientist that usually.
It's usually I have a lot of scientist fans.
Dr. Eugene Merman.
I was like, maybe it's because we're from Massachusetts. I don't know. Anyway.
And are you in a relationship right now?
Nope.
Living free and easy.
You want to come watch Frasier with me and Craig?
Watch Frasier?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
They were just bonding about Frasier.
Because I did Craig's podcasts, and we watched a pivotal Frasier episode.
I believe it was a marriage. It was a marriage that didn't happen in the episode between Niles and...
No, it was when Niles and Daphne finally...
Oh, my God, I love
that. Well, she was
going
to get married, and they broke it off.
So the finale of season 7.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Something like that.
Yes, it
was.
I am way out of my depth here.
That was the finale of season 7.
Did they ever? Did they end up together?
Yeah, they got married and have babies.
Okay.
And then they had that TV show, Frasier Babies.
A baby, sorry.
Frasier Babies?
Yeah.
Frasier Babies.
Season 11, which is...
Sauce salad and scrambled eggs.
I'll say this publicly. I've never watched the end of season 11 of Frasier.
Because you don't want to let it go?
I feel like there's
in my brain. In my brain.
Still an open loop.
He's living on.
He's still taking calls at KC.
He's not. He's fake. It's all fake. And the show's over.
Oh.
For a while now.
Are you in a relationship?
I am. Yes.
Cool.
How's that going?
It's going well. So
she's lovely.
A little over 2 years now. Yeah, two and change.
Cool.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. She's in New Orleans at the moment.
Oh, cool. Is she in this business?
She's not in, yes, in the more global sense, she is in the entertainment business, but she's not a comedian per se.
But
she's in the same. So she sort of understands the weird lifestyle and, she has the same amount of baggage that a comedian would have. So we bond a lot on that.
I don't know. I've traveled with her. It's a lot more baggage. Than me.
She has a lot of physical baggage. Physical baggage. But when she's...
dad jokes.
Not really a dad joke, though, because if we're going to a convention, she'll like have costumes stuff. So she does a... If we're going to Comic-Con, you know, like different conventions, and she cosplays, and so she'll have like a separate...
That is so cool. What does she cosplay as? What's she into?
Oh, everything. She just did... Filbert... a couple days ago, and she's done Lydia from Beetlejuice and
Ayla
from
one.
Skyrim, and she's done a bunch of video games.
Did Belle?
She did Belle. She did someone from Red
Dead
Redemption.
Oh my God, she's a hot nerd.
She did, yeah. She did...
Is she more about the costumes than the like plots of the whatever?
She is a costume maker, yeah. So she made this GLaDOS costume. She did this sort of... imagining of GLaDOS
still
as a human.
One of the ones that you can say, oh, I love that, blah, 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 and she'll know the plot of whatever the fuck she's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She will, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. I've never been to one of those conventions.
Well, I'm sure you guys
wanted
will,
to go.
I'm sure you guys like will go to Comic-Con this year. Comedy Central will probably want you to go.
I would love to go. I feel like it seems... I don't feel as informed as I should be to go to one, but it just looks like such a cool thing to
see. It's a good environment.
Yeah.
And I think... I think it would sort of blow you guys away that, you know, you'd get recognized a bunch, too.
And people really like staring at your guys' boobs. That's, like, a big thing in Comic-Cons. Yeah. It's, like, guys staring at boobs.
Really?
Is that a bit...
I don't know if that's the...
I was at Comic-Con...
I stare at Dong.
You're like, when I was at Comic-Con, that's all I did.
There are people basically... girls, like, basically not dressed up as anything, and guys would be like, can I take a picture with you?
That actually does happen.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, he's telling
totally
the truth.
True.
He's telling the truth. I've been to conventions with Chloe before where she's not dressed up.
Oh.
And you know, like early on before she was doing any TV stuff, and people were like, oh, can I? Or they were, the creepier one is, can I take a picture of you? That the guy doesn't even want to be in. He just wants to take a picture of her.
I always assume this is going to sound very nice.
That's going to the spank bank.
I always assume they're just compiling for a blog. That's what I always assume
they're
doing.
That's what they want you to assume.
That's what I assume they're doing.
No.
They're the outliers, but they exist. They exist.
That's sweet of you.
It is like, oh, I wonder what the blog is going to be.
Are you into it?
Into what?
Cosplay?
Cosplay. I do like it, but I feel like I don't have as much time. Like, I would never call myself a true...
You do like 70 TV shows, there's right?
I would never call myself a true cosplayer because, like, for instance, like last year I did something from BioShock, which is a game that I love at Comic-Con, but I had it made. Like, I couldn't make
it
myself. And so I'm not really... I like doing it, but I'm not really a cosplayer because I make nothing of it because I just don't have, and I also don't know how to make clothing.
Mm.
That's the other big thing.
But a lot of people have other people make it.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can buy components and stuff like that.
You can buy components, especially because there are places, there are times when, you know, there's a certain skill set that you don't have. Like, well, I don't know how to work with leather, or I don't know how to make a holster, or I don't know how to do this. And so, you know, so you can outsource that stuff. But for me, Chloe actually just takes care of it. She'll come up with the, like, let's do Booker and Elizabeth. Okay, great. Should have played the game all the way through before we decided to do that, but that's fine. if you know BioShock, then you would understand why. And then
I like understood that. I get the sentiment. Maybe I got like inappropriate or something.
And then,
yeah.
It was a little inappropriate. And then, but the costumes were already
got it.
I'm still not there, but I'll get it eventually.
Talk about that was such a Joey.
Yeah.
We talk about how Alana is so like Joey from Friends.
We say we're Joey and Chandler. She's what
like,
we are.
She's like, 2 minutes later, she's like, oh.
People are like, Oscar and Felix? We're like, Joey and Chandler?
Joey's the perfect tag for any episode of Friends. That's something that happens to be, if they didn't have it, if they ran out of a tag, like we don't have to end the show. All they would have to do is just have Joey walk through with a bowl of cereal or something and then just repeat something from the beginning of the episode like he's just getting it. Oh, onion rings.
Yeah.
Like,
that's my life.
Callback.
Yeah.
Well, I had a friend who was friends with Matt Perry, and apparently when...
Like, Kevin Pollak.
He's not Kevin Pollak. Yeah. But apparently when Matt LeBlanc did the movie Ed, the baseball-playing chimp, that he said, Kyle's nodding, like, oh yeah, I remember Ed. That when he was explaining it to the rest of the cast, he was like, yeah, the movie's called Ed, and the buy is the chimp plays baseball. But he explained it very, according to this guy, he explained it very sincerely, like, just in case you didn't really. Whereas I feel like most people are like, chimp plays, you know, whatever.
So you would downplay that.
Yeah, yeah. The buy is. Yeah. I know. I don't want you to think this is just another chimp.
What
movie.
If it's weirdly it's amazing so and satirical, and a wonderful film, much like RoboCop? You see the title RoboCop, you think it's a robot cop thing. It's gonna be stupid. What if Ed is? What if we're missing out and Ed's fucking amazing?
We're not.
Is it? Kyle said no.
Fair enough. How about Dunstan Checks In?
That's a classic.
Oh, okay.
God. I remember that movie. Wait, what is RoboCop if not a robot cop?
Well he's more of a cyborg than he is a robot.
Isn't it half robot, half cop?
No, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
The only human part of Murphy left is his brain and his face.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like significant.
Yeah, sure.
Those are key components.
Those are very key components.
Two of the biggest.
Yeah.
But it does pose the interesting existential question, what makes a man?
Whoa, hey.
Penis.
Yeah,
we all just got...
Then he's not a man.
Can he... Does he, like...
No, he
They did not put
fuck.
A Robocock on his Robocop.
But wait, like, is why not?
That's
why didn't they?
I think they could at any time.
It has to be Robocock.
It's sort of like, do you want the accessories? Do you want the, you know, do you want the nightstand charger? Do you want the cock as well?
Yep. He has a brain and a face. Can't he be like, let's...
Well, they wiped his... they wiped his memory, so...
He forgets what dicks are?
And he's...
That's, yeah.
You might.
I'm for real.
That's the best part of
what is that
What is that appendage?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is with that smaller leg?
Drop it. Drop it.
Why does it happen?
You're coming on me.
No?
What?
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? In that scenario, he wouldn't know what coming was because he didn't know.
Right.
Well, you know what? He was still getting flashes.
Okay.
So he knew what coming was, but he didn't really know.
Have you seen the new one?
I have.
Let me ask you this question. Spoiler alerts.
All right.
All around.
La, 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 la.
In this new iteration.
This fruit's gone bad. Spoiler alert.
In this new iteration.
Yeah.
I noticed he has a human hand.
Mm-hmm.
Did they save more of him than just his brain and his face?
Yes.
Because there's a line in the original RoboCop. Ladies, you can go to sleep now.
I've seen the original.
All right.
Go ahead.
There's a line in the original RoboCop where they talk about the fact that he still has, we were able to save his arm. And then the guy goes, what are you talking about? I talked about total, we want the arm, lose the arm.
Yeah. There's a little bit more of him than just his head and his...
RoboCop?
Penis?
Nope. That did not, we can imagine. But it could be anything he wanted. I mean, he basically just like, you could carry all your dicks around like a drill bit set. And just and put on whichever
you
one.
You just described just a case of dildos.
Yes. Right. I'm sorry, I have a bad case of dildos.
Doctor,
I've come down with a bad case of dildos. We'll put them in the drawer.
Well, don't do that.
Do you have time for, speaking of part human, do you have time for human activities? Like, you just said you read.
I'm trying to make more time for human activities.
Do you read?
I didn't for a long time.
Please say no.
I don't eat. I didn't really partake in a lot of human activities for a long time. But Chloe's been really good with that part.
Humanizing him. It's been nice.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's been nice, guys.
Yeah.
So, because cool. Initially I was just a total reconstruction.
Chloe is his Kristen Allen.
Lewis. Right.
From the original RoboCop.
Yeah.
Makes it more human. Gotcha. Reminds you that, hey, you're not just podcast host. Your name is Chris. You have
I was like, Kristen.
I do, like, but I find that, I kind of unromantically have to schedule that a lot of the time. As opposed to
like, a few weeks ago, he texted me and was like, hey, what are you doing later? Want to go to dinner? And I was like, what the fuck is going on? In 4 years, that's never happened. Unless we're on the road together.
That's right.
That's cool.
So he's making an effort.
That's
really
nice. To do that.
Well, because what I am realizing...
Yeah, you have to, like, schedule it.
What I am realizing, and maybe this is a lesson for you guys, too, that you didn't ask for, but there is a limit to what you can ask of your mind and your body and how much you can tax yourself. And at a certain point, you know, you don't really understand that if you have a breakdown that it's everything. And I've never had one, but I feel like there have been times where I was close, where your body and your brain just like shuts down because and it's not, oh, I'm just feeling sad for a day or two. Like, there was a point, like, breakdowns are literal things that happen to people if they don't take the time to rejuvenate a little bit and cool down and not get so freaked out about everything.
It really is like the long haul vision in general. Like,
I felt that.
I was just gonna say that.
Like, I was close to it, but I, like, when we were in production, I was like, there's no time to, like, there's no time to, like, think. I have not talked to anyone I know for, like, weeks. I'm, like, so off of a normal schedule that it's crazy.
There was, when I first kind of started getting my shit together in my early 30s, I listened to every, like, self-help book on audiobook that I could find. Just thinking, like, you know, I know that all these choices I'm making are just bad, so at least there might be some tools in here that I can use. And, you know, some of them are ridiculous and, you know, other ones. But you don't have to do everything they say. And so there was, in this one Dale Carnegie book, he talked about living in day-tight compartments, which I thought was a really fascinating idea of basically not bringing the past or the future. I mean, this is sort of like the enjoy your burrito thing that we see in the podcast, but really when those moments when I do feel overwhelmed and I feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done by this weekend. I don't know. You know, I have to do that on tomorrow. Then I just kind of let it go and I go, okay, what's today? If I, like, all I have to do is get through today and I will deal with tomorrow.
But you
cannot take it on all at once. Yeah. Beat yourself up for stuff you did yesterday and freak out about stuff you don't know how you're going to do tomorrow. And I find that when I do that, it eliminates like 66% of the stress, 33% on the past and the future.
Right.
And
right.
it
yeah.
really, really does help. It really does help. But you have to be careful. You really do have to be careful because your body, you do have limits. We can't all be Seacrest guys.
Oh my gosh.
We can try. We can try, but we can't.
I mean, if you want to die.
Yeah, if you want to die.
He's fine. He seems fine. He seems fine.
Does he, though, really?
What if he dies of a heart attack before this airs?
Oh, shit.
Then we'll just have to say, Katie, can you cut this out of the podcast? That time that we said
on my.
Or at the beginning of the podcast, I'll go, so this is a funny story.
We do this thing, and it's like at some point on the show called Gross Fucks. We like talk about people that we like are kind of grossed out by, but that we would still like have sex with. Ryan Seacrest is on my list.
It's like a person you're embarrassed that you want to fuck.
I think he's like very ambitious.
Well, Mark
years ago, ambition you're fucking thing, really.
I don't know. I think he seems very nice and like
about,
I don't know.
I was thinking about this the other day, that and I couldn't tell if there was a bit to be had from it, but it was the idea that that there are a variety of reasons why you fuck someone, and what is it that you're fucking? Are you fucking freedom, or are you fucking security? Are you just fucking to get off? Are you fucking to pleasure someone else? Are you like, there's so many different that you don't really, that it's rare that it's just physical. When you kind of look at every time you have sex, there's usually a conceptual reason. Margaret Cho used to have a bit where she said, have you ever found someone so repulsive that you couldn't help but imagine yourself in a sexual situation with them?
Yeah, I get that. When it's like somebody's like annoying or something, you're like, God, fuck! You like,
I just want to hate fuck.
You're like, yeah.
Maybe the wires are just a little too close together. Yeah. The wires are just a little
right,
too close
right, right. There's like some sensation, and it's like you choose.
Who else is on your gross fucks list?
Scott Kahn.
we've talked. He's come up a couple times, like in the
past week. We've been like Scott Kahn.
He he's like really slicks it back.
He's like so gross.
I don't know.
Like,
he's kind of really. He should be on everybody's gross fuck list.
I didn't
he's
know who you were talking about until you described his hair.
He's like a fat ass dude.
You didn't know Scott Kahn?
Do you know who's also on my gross fuck list? His dad, who's not alive
James
anymore.
Gunn.
Oof.
Right?
He's not James alive. Gunn die? I think he's still alive.
James Gunn's still with us.
Oh my God, do you know who I'm thinking of?
So
John Spencer.
Oh, John Spencer. But you know, John Spencer.
Aren't they alike?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I mean, because James Gunn really was like I think he was like Scott, you know, like he was sort of an alpha ladies man. And I don't think John Spencer was like that.
But in their old age, I don't know why they remind me of each other.
Everyone just looks the same when you start to get old. You know, fucking
correct.
That's really interesting. Yeah, James.
Who would
and
be
Scott
on yours?
Kahn. Who's on mine?
Fellas, think about it.
Stew? It's not necessarily a
Stew marinate.
Insult. Right. Like it's a positive. Like right?
Yeah.
Is it an insult?
It's kind of just like there's somebody for everybody.
Yeah.
I wonder, and I'm not saying she's on my list, but I wonder how many people would want to gross fuck Ann Coulter. I'm just like, I will.
Yeah,
that would be like
that's a really angry.
Yeah,
gross.
That would be
like
can you dominate this person?
Yeah.
Then in that case, you're fucking domination, and there's like submission.
That's where your mind goes. Like
a dom com.
Sarah Palin is that type of person too.
A dom.
I bet Sarah Palin's on a lot of gross fuck lists.
Yeah. Madam Cum.
Oh yeah.
I don't know who would be on that list.
Sarah Palin.
I don't
fuck yeah.
I don't know.
Titty fucker.
I mean, I don't know if it's weird. I mean,
it's okay. Sorry. Just be like, you stupid bitch.
She was at the TCAs that day.
She was.
She was like, oh. That's
good
my Sarah Palin impression.
Good for her.
Yeah,
that's a good micro impression, Sarah Palin. Oh.
A micro impression where it's just like one little word. Yeah. I have one of those for John Ritter. Did you ever watch Three's Company?
Yeah.
Chrissy, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Three's Company.
Unfortunately for the news now, mine's Woody Allen. And it's the one word impression is bananas.
Ew.
I thought you were saying he was your gross fuck.
I feel like that might have been like a 10
word. He's my gross. Yeah, he's my gross.
There was a lot of
so fucking gross.
Yeah. That's it. I don't even need to say anything.
What's yours?
I don't think I have one.
I don't know if I have one either.
If your micro impression is the same as your gross fuck, that would be amazing.
And it's meant to be.
I'm going
to
go with.
And they're both Kelly Ripa.
I'm going to go with the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. I would totally gross fuck that T-Rex.
Sure. Yeah. That's a tough call. Because the guidelines for the gross fuck.
It's like, I guess it's like a good one would be Courtney Stodden, if you could even stand to do it.
Oh, well, when we did it, one of mine was like this was like not an exaggerated one because I had like a whole thing, but like a Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Would be like where you would be like, oh, that's not someone I really want
to
fuck.
But like, to me, I'm like, she's sincerely sexy to me.
But that would be like an experience.
That's the thing where you...
You'd want to tell people.
I know a guy... I know a guy.
Oh.
I know a guy who...
Angela Lansbury.
Oh!
Whoa! She is
essential.
Guys.
Pussy murder, she wrote.
Fuck. Yeah, that's right.
There's a video of her rubbing... Like,
lotion on her legs. Lotion, yes, of course. Of course.
It is. It's for...
It's for elderly women.
Well, she's a sensuous... older woman, right. But I get that it would be gross.
I have a friend.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
buckle the fuck up.
When he was 35, maybe, had sex with Liza Minnelli.
And this was she at the time. How old was she at the time?
How old is she now? Is she in her 70s now?
Yeah, that's great. That makes me want to be
She was
like
probably
Liza.
Like 58, 60, maybe 58 or something.
Awesome. Dope,
and
dope,
he,
dope,
and he
dope,
had sex
dope.
With her. And he goes, and it was the thing, he was like, you know, the opportunity presented itself. And I was like, well, like, I've got to do, you know, he really was just so bad. And he goes, you know what? It wasn't bad. Like, he thought it was really great.
I bet it was good.
He said it was really great, but...
That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that.
But that she got a little aggressive with him, and she was like, you cocksucker! And then he was like, what?
No.
Yeah, like, she started swearing
at him.
Part
of the she dates, him. Yeah. Like, gay dudes.
Because you just did another amazing micro-impression.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
You did it. It was a really good minute or sliver of time of Liza Minnelli fucking. Like, I was there.
Now you guys know what the next sketch on the first
episode of season two that's nice.
Is going to be.
Fuck me a cocksucker. Somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh my God.
For you,
that's
Mama.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's her mom. I know that was her. Yeah, sure.
That's crazy, man. Oh my God. Larry. Do you know what that is? Larry. Her on Larry King Live.
Oh,
that's in work.
Is Larry King on your gross episode? Podcast too?
Ew, no.
Ew,
but he's had like he's
yeah, nope.
No, there's no. There's nothing.
Well, fine. You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm gonna put him on mine. How about that? What are you gonna
do
about that?
That's
you
great.
Can't
that's
stop
great.
It.
Take him. I don't, yeah.
Do it. That's great. It's
Tacoma.
A good
Tacoma.
there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aubrey O'Day, I feel, would be one.
Yeah. Wait, hang on 1 second.
Kelly Ripa. That's I'm throwing Kelly Ripa.
Really?
She's not even gorgeous.
She's so skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's she gross. Is, but...
Wait,
yeah.
I think I made eye contact with her in New York City. Oh, we sort of crossed the street, and she sort of, like, looked at me.
Like, she's like, are you the kid from the textual harassment commercials?
Yes, that's right. Did you know that, guys, that I was in this weird PSA for textual harassment?
No, wait, were you a phone?
I was a phone,
I know.
And I asked
I know all of your
girl.
Best work,
Thank
Craig.
Thank you. That is my best work. I asked... A teenage girl to send me nude pictures.
Ew! Yeah, but he was a huge.
I was a huge cell phone. I was in the Stan Winston Studios designed cell
Holy
phone.
It's
shit.
Actually important.
Did they build that?
Yeah.
And I saw it 5 years ago, and it's still on.
So that's just their
kids. I bet she knew you also from the Million Dollar Thing.
No, this was before that. Oh. I think. Actually, that's, I don't know. But either way, that's not notable.
The fact that it's still on is a testament to Stan Winston Studios.
Yeah.
For making a phone that still looks like a phone.
You know, for a second, her husband was on Broad City.
Mark
Consuelos. Who should not be on anyone's gross fuck list because he's fucking beautiful.
Wait, why was he on... Was he...
He was the hot neighbor.
He was originally my neighbor.
Ooh.
What happened? Contract
he
disputes?
He had got another thing and...
It actually worked out. Yeah. Steven Schneider was like...
It ended up being like... Just everything keeps ending up being
kept
great.
Up.
Yeah, the guy that you have is great.
He's so
he's
great.
Really good.
So funny. He's so
really
good.
Sorry about that. I kept hitting like I'll call later, but she kept calling back. So I was like, there's probably a problem. Yeah. So she's in New Orleans, and she momentarily like freaked out because she's in the hotel, and she said there was this loud explosion noise, and all of the power went out in the French Quarter. So her first thought was like, a bomb just went off. So, but apparently she said it was a lightning, like a storm. But, you know, when you're somewhere and all of a sudden you hear...
That's terrifying.
And then all the power goes out. You're like, this is some type of horrible thing.
Yeah.
But she was like, it's okay. It was just a storm at the time.
Did it turn okay while you were on the phone?
Yeah, right when I called her back.
Oh, great.
She was like,
I just found out.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
so everything's okay.
Ooh. Guys, New Orleans, huh?
So, isn't that terrifying now when someone calls you
twice?
Three times?
My sister-in-law called me and I was like, dude, I'm in a thing yesterday. I was here yesterday and I was like, is everything okay? And she was like, yeah.
Well, yeah, she just...
Fine, I just couldn't get your voice. I was like,
As soon as she answered the phone, I was like, what's wrong? Like, you just know immediately.
Yeah.
But I kind of have that thing where if someone...
It's the worst.
Yeah, I totally have that, like, just I'm trying to brace for bad news. Yeah. What can I do?
That's my method of if you call me after 9:30 p.m.
Oh,
like, it's going to be shitty. Whatever the fuck he's about to say is going to be shitty.
It's the opposite. It was amazing Ethiopian food is what it was.
Yeah. How long have you guys known each other and worked together?
2007. I've known you since 2007.
Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah.
And we've been working together since 2010.
Cool. Because they're almost the same as us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you guys.
And here we are doing a podcast together
for real. We're our own Broad City.
Yeah.
We should do a show together called At Midnight.
You should.
And
it'll never work.
No, it'll be fine. You'll host it.
It'll be great. You'll be great.
Wait, do you know, I was telling Craig, do you know how good that, like, thank you again for having us. That was so good for the show.
Well, you guys were great. And Hannibal is, you know, like,
that was like.
I was excited when I saw you guys.
Hannibal's so fucking, I mean, that guy is just, he just generates comedy. And it doesn't even seem like he ever has to even think about it. It just, anything that comes out of that guy's mouth is just like.
Well, it's one of those like really just fucking priceless deliveries.
He has a very cool intonation.
And you and him as a couple Broad City is a great match.
Funny.
Like perfect, perfect match.
Because your energy is like here and his is always like here.
We're both weird, I think. He's weird. And so are we.
Well, Broad City is on Wednesday nights on Comedy Central after Workaholics at 10:30, probably 9:30 Central.
Oh, God. Fucking mountain time.
And then what? It's back at 10:30 on the Pacific?
Yeah. 10:30 here.
It dips in the middle and goes back up in the other.
Yeah, nice. Nice, nice, nice.
That is a great micro Paul Hogan.
Yeah. Nice.
Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, my God. Cool.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Abby, Craig so Rowan.
Oh, thank you.
I wish you the best. I hope you get to see your wife soon. We didn't really
know. Thursday night, house to myself.
Yeah.
You're dreading it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I feel that.
Please, Pawn Stars.
It's on Thursdays. So that's great. I'll watch it.
Good.
I'm going to go to Vegas, I think, this weekend.
Are you serious?
Wow, cool.
Oh, yeah.
See Brittany?
Yeah, might as well. Why not?
That would be awesome.
Right?
If you were
just check Instagram, guys.
In Vegas? No, that they went last weekend. Uh-huh. I didn't go.
Well, let's see what happens.
Brittany, bitch.
Let's see what happens, guys.
Do it.
Watch what happens live.
Watch what happens live with not me.
Bravo every night at 11. I don't know when it's on. But
and plug your podcast while you're here.
Yeah.
It's That Episode, and it's going to be joining the Nerdist Podcast Network soon.
Oh my God,
it's cool. It's such a great podcast. We both have been on
We've both been on it. You've been on it. Yep. I'll be on it.
I'd love to be on it. It's fun. You pick your favorite show.
I wanted to do Frasier, but it was taken.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The guest picks a TV show and we watch it together. So you, Abby was Frasier, Alana was Larry Sanders Show, and Matt, of course, was Pawn Stars.
Yeah. I already know what I'm going to do.
What?
Doctor...
No, I think it'd be too obvious to do Doctor Who. But it's going to be one that no one else has done yet.
You're not going to say it.
Well, don't say it because, or say it, but
yeah,
in code.
Yeah, you can claim it, right?
Yeah, claim it, and I won't let anyone else do it.
Oh.
Do I claim it right now?
Yeah, here now.
Greatest American Hero.
Oh.
Believe it or not.
What did you do?
Watch Pawn Stars.
Oh, yes. Pawn Stars, that's right. Why didn't you do Quantum Leap? You totally could have
done
Quantum
Leap. I did Quantum Leap for the 100.
I had to download it, and I was like, can you download this last episode for me?
Guess what Blaine Capatch did? If you can get, you know the era.
Blaine Capatch probably did like Mannix.
He did Quark.
Oh my! Oh wow!
Which is a 1970s sci-fi comedy show by Buck Henry that lasted 6 episodes. And he's like, we have to do Quark.
Wow, Buck Henry, what up?
Was it amazing.
No, it was really bad.
Oh.
Really bad.
What if I had to watch?
Great and bad.
You know what else is good?
Yeah,
you know what else is
bad.
Good that we could do is the short-lived Comedy Central version of TV Funhouse.
Oh, I love TV Funhouse. Yeah,
have you seen the 6 episodes of TV Funhouse that Smigel did?
Smigel.
I remember it, yeah.
Oh my God, it is fucking amazing. Where they did
it's great.
They basically did it like a real TV Funhouse, and there was a host, like a guy.
Cowboy Bob or something.
Let's do other wonderfully short-lived...
while we're in this room, wonderfully short-lived Comedy Central.
Midnight, Broad City.
TV Funhouse was like
crossballs.
Wonder Chosen would be another
MTV.
One. Too.
Yeah,
Wonder Chosen.
So TV Funhouse was sort of like an unofficial, I think, progenitor to Wonder Chosen. It was the same kind.
We love Wonder Chosen.
Who created that? Directed some of our episodes.
Oh, that's awesome.
John Lee.
It was so strange. I used to like watch it so much, and I was like, "You did Wonder Chosen? It's
so good."
He brought us.
All these animals on TV Funhouse, like these animal puppets, and then after work they go hang out at this restaurant called Sames, where you eat what you are. So like the duck is eating dog.
That's where Comic Fit Insult Dog came from, right?
Yeah, Triumph from Smigel. Well, it didn't.
Well, I think
Comic Fit Insult
from
Dog.
It sort of was an expansion.
It evolved from Triumph and all the TV Funhouse stuff from SNL. So we'll do one of those. Yeah, see, that'll still surprise people because it could
They're
be
not
one
gonna
of those.
Know.
And then also you can link back to this episode and be like, "This was the one where I decided.
This is where it all began."
Synergy.
It's just like Craig and
Synergy outside the box. New ideas.
And then she knows your brother, and then she knows you Beverly, and I've only just met her at breakfast.
We had breakfast with you the other week.
Oh, you are such a human.
I do human things. Like I go have breakfast and I eat it, and then I process it the way humans do, and then I throw it up.
Wait a minute. That's not.
Well, I can't eat solid food. Right. I feast on blood. That's how I.
I wish you were like. I can't eat solid food. I get fat.
No, I was going for the vampire joke.
Understood.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your burrito. Your cock saga.
Nice addition.
Thanks.
I guess
that was Liza Minnelli addition.
No, I know.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Vimeo. Save 10% on a Vimeo Plus or Pro membership by entering the offer code NERDIST in all caps. Get started at Vimeo.com. Offer expires April 30th.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fu,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.